So let's open our Bibles and get back in here to Revelation chapter 3. And tonight we finally come to the last of the seven churches. And tonight it's Laodicea. And the name Laodicea means the rights of the people. The rights of the people. And as we'll see, whenever you go after appeasing man or trying to appease the people, there will come literally a spiritual death in that place. And that's what will always happen. You're either going to choose God or you're going to choose mammon. And you're either going to go to the ways of man or you're going to go after the ways of God. And I'm sad to say, but it is evident, and the Word of God said it would be, but our poor country is going that way more and more and more all the time, trying to meet the needs of every whim of man and completely denying, ignoring, and it's a blasphemy of the Word of God. And it is sad, but yet exciting at the same time. Because as the Lord says, as you see these things come to pass, look up. And I'm grateful to God. He didn't say anything else, but look up. There was no delaying there, was there? You know, because if we get delayed, it's going to take time to look up. But look up, because he's coming. His redemption is, our salvation is nigh. And it's nearer than when we first believed. Praise be to God. But these that overcome in this church of Laodicea, we're going to see that they are in what will be the third rank. And again, I'm thankful to see and understand in the Word of God there are ranks in the resurrection. I don't like when people try to define people as, oh, you're pre-trib, post-trib, this trib, and all of those. I simply, will you search the Scriptures to see that these things are so? Let's just go to the Word of God. Let's quit trying to have these little coin phrases where we're talking about things and know the Word of God. And that will really cut to the chase. It'll save everybody a lot of time. Will you search the Scriptures? Because if people have their preconceived ideas, whether it's from how they were brought up, their religion, their denomination, or whatever it is, if that's going to be the response, they're not going to search the Scriptures. If it's the Word of God that we'll go into, take the time. But if it's going to be an argument over denominational things and such, I would suggest that you just pass by that city and get on with getting on. And the Lord will give you a little gold, silver, and precious stone to deal with. So we thank God for that. But tonight we'll see that this is the third rank that arrive in heaven. Yes, if it's the third rank, they arrive after the first rank and after the second rank. So the first rank, once again, as we have been rejoicing in, is that bridal company that arrives in heaven at the sound of the first trump. We will get to them, if the Lord tarry, Revelation 4, next week at the sound of the first trump. We'll see those living ones there. And then after the first rank, we know that there's going to be a second rank, as the Word of God tells us. We find that company in heaven in chapter 7, which is the innumerable multitude. Again, doing different things. Then the first rank is in the midst of the throne glory with him. Amen. They're ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. That second rank, that innumerable company, we see them. They are before the throne, and they're singing salvation to our God. They do not have crowns, they have white robes, and they sing the song of salvation. Well, now we come to this third rank. And this third rank will be the part of the church that is seen as the 144,000. And this 144,000 is introduced in chapter 7 of Revelation. And then they're seen taken into heaven in chapter 12. So this third rank also we'll see are also called the five wise virgins. Virgins will be in Matthew 25 here in just a minute. We'll read about them. They're also known as the manly son of chapter 12, verse 5 of Revelation. They come out of their sleepy attitude and they awake deeper into the tribulation. Now, we don't have an exact time of when that will be, but if the The bridal company will be raptured at the sound of the first trump. That will begin the 7-year period of time for the tribulation. Know this, brothers and sisters, that the time of the great tribulation is from the 3.5-year period to the end of the tribulation. That is referred to as the great tribulation time. But the innumerable multitude most likely will be taken out somewhere between the first and the second year after bride is taken. Then somewhere following that, before the middle of the week or the middle of the 7 years, that 3.5-year time, the 144,000 will be taken out. This third rank will be taken out as well too at that time. But these are the ones, as I just mentioned, that are found in Matthew 25. And go ahead and turn there and we'll read a little bit about it. But in Matthew 25, it says that this is the company that comes forth to meet the bridegroom and the bride. See, this isn't the bride. These are the ones that come forth to meet him. These are the ones that arise and trim their lamps and hasten to the marriage supper. So let's go ahead and read about them in chapter 25 of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So see, they go forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Now we saw that the foolish virgins were the church of Thyatira. That was the 4th rank. Those will be the ones that go deep into the tribulation. That will be those saints that are under the altar. They'll die even into the great tribulation time. And they will also make up those that will go through the entire tribulation and live into the millennium, the remnant. Praise God. This is exciting. These will obviously consist of many of those of the Jews that will come in through. They'll begin to know the Lord. They'll face great, great tribulation through then. But those also will be the remnant that will be testifying to every creature, every nation during the millennial time. They'll be the great evangelists. Isn't that amazing? I love that. They'll be the great evangelists of the millennial time. So we thank the Lord for that. But then, in verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So isn't that something? The bridegroom tarried, they were still all sleeping. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." Now this is interesting too, because again, there's so much bridal encouragement in that as well too to us, brothers and sisters. We understand that. There's many layers, in a sense, to the Word of God. We're thankful. We understand that we can even take encouragements from that oil, that encouragement of the Holy Ghost and the encouragement of running to win. Christ is our bridegroom. But in this, notice that this encouragement at the very end, "Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now we're back to those watches. Remember the watches, the 4 watches we talked about? To overcome, there has to be an awakening and an enlightenment for whatever period that you are in or failed again to awaken in, to be ready for that trump. That first trump blast, we know the ones that will respond to that are going to be the ones that love his appearing. Those, praise God, that are looking for his appearing, that are ready. That's the bridegroom. But then we know that those that slept through that, that innumerable company, will again be encouraged and quickened, and then they'll be resurrected. They'll be raptured up to heaven, and we see them there in chapter 7. Then there will be ones that even after that, that become saved, that are quickened in the things of God. So there's that overcoming that continues to happen. That's why in all of the churches it said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Those that will overcome in each one of those churches. I pray that that's encouraging to you to understand and to quicken us right now. We better be a full overcomer right now by the grace of God to be ready for the first trump. So this is exciting stuff. And sometimes it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. I get that. But you know what? It's by his Spirit. It'll be a little cookie on the shelf and we'll go on. Now let's go ahead and read about the church of Laodicea tonight. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and faithful, and true witness, and beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So we see Jesus is on the outside of this church. They don't have any fellowship with him. We see how sad the state of this meeting is. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now as we get into Laodicea, this is the one church. Do you know there's nothing good said of these ones? Nothing. And again, this is the third rank. You know, the fourth rank, Thyatira. What was so wicked about Thyatira is that deceitfulness was going out and being such that Jezebel getting, again, infecting like a disease and all of that multi-marriage kind of stuff that she would do, good God, good devil, good everybody, to try to get more and more numbers polluted with that abomination. But here, to this Laodicea, it's wonderful because he announces his mercy right off the bat. Faithful and true. Praise God. Isn't that who our Lord is? He's faithful and true. It's not us, it's him. And he's the one that abides faithful, not us. His promises are true, ours are not. He is the I Am. And thanks be to God that he would that all men be saved. And I'm thankful to Jesus that he is not slack concerning any of his promises. I am God, is what he's saying here, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And you are catering to the people's wants. And any time we start to cater to what man wants, God showed us that even with Christian man or man, the believers right away. You think of King Saul. When they wouldn't listen to God, God's people, what did they do? They said, well, we need a king like all the other peoples. We want to be like the other. We want to be like man. We want to appease our thoughts of the thoughts of man. And so what they did is, and I always love the story, well, who are we going to pick? Well, let's pick the tallest guy. You know, it's kind of funny to me. Well, why don't we pick the shortest guy? You know, it really didn't matter. It was just like, that was the wrong guy because it wasn't God's man. Well, first and foremost, God said, let me just reign over you. But that wasn't going to happen. They would not do that. We have to have a man reign over us. Isn't that interesting? It's something. We always, that you talk about the nature in us that wants to be oppressed, and yet God, whom he has made free, is free indeed. And know this, brothers and sisters, and especially as we face this election, it will give you a lot of hope. And the only hope is in our Lord. But see, When we go after what man wants, we vote God out. That's exactly what happens. When we go after man's desire, we're not looking for God. And that is always the case when it's man's ways, because man's ways will never be God's ways. In verse 15, he says, I know thy works. Isn't that wonderful? See, once again, nothing's hidden from him. He knows it all. I'm thankful to the Lord, as sweet Peter, even many things going on there as we read through John. I'm thankful that Peter was encouraged and he said, Lord, thou knowest. I thank the Lord to come to that point in my life time and time again. And more and more all the time, Lord, you know. Praise God. I'm satisfied, Lord, that you know. Praise God. I am absolutely at peace beyond any understanding. It's perfect peace because, Lord, you know. Hallelujah. And if it's something you're going to show to me, that's fine. But Lord, I know you know. I know your promises are yea and amen. I know that you will not withhold anything good from my life. I also know that you're made all wisdom to me. So praise God, you'll never bring me to a place that you already haven't prepared me for. You'll never bring me to a situation, praise God, that's too big for my life. Praise God, I won't be tested beyond what I can bear because I know that by the grace of God, mountain be removed in the name of Jesus and he'll do it. So thanks be to God. But see, he knows and he tells them, you know what, basically, would you be something, please? Be either cold or hot. It's kind of funny. People say, well, would God want you to be cold with this? No, this is just its expression because you think about lukewarm. Isn't that kind of what, you know, everybody wants kind of a lukewarm. It's just, it's kind of just very comfortable and everything's great. This is what's really, again, angering God is these people have gone after their comfort. They've gone after, again, everything to appease themselves. And he's just saying to, you know what, you don't have any drive. You have no desire for me. You are lifeless. And the correction that I'm giving you right now is you're complacent. You're complacent in the things of God. You are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it's very interesting because as you see, as we've studied these different churches, is you know, we go back to Thyatira. There was, in that church, there was such a reigning. Now, Pergamos, we know, was the power of the people, but especially in Thyatira, it was just rampant, that power, that church power over the people, causing guilt, causing them to, again, to be in such order to the church. Now we're in this lotus land of ease kind of a meeting, this good God, good devil, good everybody kind of a thing. You know, we'll just kind of hit it how it goes. Whatever we're feeling today, we'll go ahead and worship it. Huh? Let me tell you something. This is kind of going down over and over and more so in these churches more and more as we see in this world today. But this applies even in their church that they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This isn't just in their personal life. And this is prevalent in today's mainstream Christianity. Most of the Christianity of today is caught up in either entertainment, which is true, or convenience, which is true. It is. Come on now. Spectacle, absolutely. Meeting man's natural needs. That's really what it's set up to do today. You think about it. You go into a church today and some of these large churches, man, it's like going to Costco. I mean, you can get insurance, you can get coffee, you can get, you know, medical treatment, psychological treatment. You can get it all, except the one thing you won't find is the Word of God. And that's the truth, and this is where it's all gone to. And again, meeting man's natural needs as opposed to knowing the Word of God. Catering to every fleshly need, but starving the soul. Ignoring the need for spiritual growth, which only comes by grace and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You do not become godly by feeling. You do not become godly by keeping busy in a church. You do not become godly by, again, all of these things that might sound good and might help in a sense of a natural being, but without the Word of God, you've never helped a soul at all. You haven't. You have not helped them in giving them anything without giving them the Word of God. Now, these ones are in the balance, just like Thyatira. As we look at verse 16 here, so it says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So this church is in the mouth of God, but there's a rejection of the word. There is a refusal of the blood. And if this doesn't change, he's going to spit them out. Now, there are ones that will say, well, see, you can lose your salvation. This doesn't have anything to do with salvation. This, we know we cannot lose our salvation. This shows that Christ Jesus, if you really want to look at this in detail, he has not swallowed them. They have not yet become part of his body. There is something that's being tasted there. But the teachings and the lack of faith that's going on in that meeting, and I'll just say it exactly as it is, they've ceased to even get saved. There's nothing anymore about blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. And if you're not going to preach that, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get spewed right out of my mouth. And unfortunately, this is what is rampant in our Protestant churches today. And I'm not ashamed to say it. It's a fact that you can talk all around about God you want. But it hurt to be around all of those Protestant groups couple weeks ago. I never heard once. I heard people pray and pray and pray and pray. I never heard the name of Jesus. The best that somebody could get was in the name of the Lord. I appreciate that. I'm sure I could infer that that was the name of Jesus. But why not say, in Jesus' name? Amen? Is that not what the Word of God has instructed and told us? That whatsoever we do, say, or ask, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. And this is that subtlety, brothers and sisters, and it will slip and continue to slip. We need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't think not too highly, any highly of you and your capability and how you're going to approach God. Because there's one way to approach God, and that's the word of his grace. There isn't anything else. And I thank God that we're encouraged to stand in it. And it's a privilege, brothers and sisters, and it's all by grace. So in verse 17, he addresses the problem. And in verse 17, we see very clearly that the problem is that they're blind. This, again, is 2 Timothy 3:5. It says in 2 Timothy 3:5 that in the end times, there will be a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And that's where we're at. We've accelerated to that point. And this isn't, the world can have a form of godliness, but this is talking about Christianity. This is talking about, again, the wonderful Protestant churches that through the years, I was watching a movie just a couple days ago that a brother had given me here about the Word of God, the Forbidden Book it was called. And I thought it was very encouraging and so wonderful about Martin Luther and Tyndale and again, the journey of the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and all of those. I mean, my goodness, brothers and sisters, a lot of the privileges that we have today in the Word of God, there were many in those denominations that stood for the truth so mightily and wonderfully. But unfortunately, what has happened is that the name Ichabod has become written over many of the church's doors. That they want to cater. It becomes more of a country club setting, a more of a society kind of a deal, messages for entertainment or some type of a self-motivation and furtherance of business and how the church is going to conduct business and different things of that nature than at all about Christ and him crucified. Church is truly just going through the motions, singing hymns. But we know that there are many denominations that sing hymns, but they've taken out specifically any hymn that had any word about the blood. Isn't that something? See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I'm thankful to God that we sing about the blood. We thank God for the blood. As God the Father said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's so wonderful, and we're grateful to the Lord for these things. But see, again, they've turned to preaching sermons of motivation, happy thoughts, but lacking Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They may have numbers. They may have beautiful buildings. They may have healthy bank accounts, gloating even in the good deeds, the multitude of good deeds that they do in the world. That's why, again, it says, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works. And you're just sitting there. You're satisfied. You're rich. You're increased with goods. You don't need anything else. But in all reality, I'm going to tell you who you are. Look at that in verse 17. You're wretched. You're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. That's as direct as I think you can be direct. And that's our God. Amen. So let's go through those real quick. Well, wretched means that there's no life. Wretched is no life. And I get this. And I'll tell you what. As Christians, we begin to come that way when we get cold. A cold Christian, to me, is wretched. It just is. It's very sad. There's no life. There's no joy. There's no encouragement. It's just going to be something that's condemning and judgmental and harsh, abrasive. Amen? I pray to God that each and every vessel in this meeting that hears this truth and love message is one that would edify. Amen. Spiritual encouragement by the grace of God. That doesn't mean we just say, hey, everything's okay. No, but in love. And the first approach that I would have for anything and any need in your life better be met on my knees before I would ever go to say a word. And that's even as your pastor. By the grace of God. And most of the time I love that. But because on the knees, it's already answered. And oftentimes, there's nothing ever else to do. Which the Lord knows I much prefer. So that's a good thing. And thanks be to God. And that's how we, really, the evidence of fat sheep. That's the evidence of mature sons of God. They're able. They're capable. Praise God. They walk. They're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. They know that whether by many or by few, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So, wretched, there's no life. Miserable, well, there's no peace or joy. I don't want to be miserable. I don't. I've had people say, well, you're just trying to be happy. No, I don't try to be happy. I can be sad at times. I get angry at times, all these different things. But I'll tell you what, when you think of the name Jesus and what he did on that cross, you know what? There's a joy. Doesn't matter. Joy, even when I'm a little angry, and then the anger goes away. You know, sad, kind of something didn't happen right and everything. But see, it's all scripture. That's what it is. It's got to be the word of God that encourages our life. It's like David said, I encourage myself in the Lord. And we have to be in that zone of that, in that fellowship zone, if you would, if we're really going to be the full overcomer. Because I can't wait for somebody to encourage me. That may never come. But by the grace of God, the one and the only one that can encourage me is always there. And the sheep, I can hear his voice. I know his voice. Amen. But I need to believe the scriptures. And I'll tell you how faith comes again. You know how faith comes? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you got to hear the word of God and hear the word of God and hear the word of God. I challenge anybody here right now. Can you tell me all the promises of God to you? No, you couldn't recite them, could you? Praise God. And why would the Lord do that in a lot of ways? Because you know what? He wants that fellowship. He wants that communion. If you could just go memorizing everything and all of that, you might just start relying on you. So you know what? Sometimes, and it is, there's many things in my life. I'll tell you, I've had a really good memory. I could memorize a lot of different things, whether it was music and books and writings and, you know, man, I don't need this. I can just do this and all. You know what? With the Word of God, it's the hardest thing. And I've had people tell me that, boy, you just butchered that verse. I don't ever want to butcher the verse, but I'll tell you one thing. I want to live it. I want it real in my heart by the grace of God and be able to convey that, you know. So, wretched, no life, miserable, no peace or joy, blind. There's no faith. There is no faith. I'm thankful that I'm not blind. Hallelujah, I see. I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. And that's what the Lord has done. And that's seeing the word. And then finally, okay, if you're not going to get wretched, miserable, blind, let's just go right at it. You're naked. You're not righteous. So I'll tell you one thing. You're either righteous or you're not. And every Christian is righteous. So you can deductive reasoning, you can figure that out real quick. That if you don't have righteousness, you're a sinner. That's right. So, it's a dire condition, this church. They're not clothed, so there's no righteousness. They are in danger of the lake of fire. So this is tragic. But listen to verse 18. This is how sweet our Lord is. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Isn't that so sweet? He's counseling them to buy gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Not that, you know, you just escape, get out. He's talking about wealth. You know, we're talking, look at how he just went from miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and now he's talking about, but here's how you're rich. Not just that you're going to escape, but the riches of Christ. This is what he wants. This is how effectual, this is the power of Christ. This is amazing, brothers and sisters. That's what I say. He doesn't just, again, and think of your own life. You say, when you know, when you failed and there's guilt and all this, oh, okay, just get up and kind of feel sorry for yourself and, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of wean back to the Lord. No, get up and run. Why don't you get up and fly? Amen? That's the riches of his grace. That's how powerful he is. And this is what he's saying even to these ministering the word of God. He wants them not just to, again, just to begin to receive something. He wants them to take it and grow in it and become rich, rich, rich. Hallelujah. But every child of God is rich. Every child of God is an heir of God. There isn't any person that's ever lived here in all collective wealth of the world ever and ever and ever and ever and ever could never even compare with the infant of infants of the child of God and what they will walk into someday in the wealth being an heir of God. Isn't that something? Praise God. But I love to think of this joint heirship and sharing the glory with him. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. So in verse 18, which is very sweet, he doesn't turn away from them. He doesn't just be abusive, but he calls out, I counsel thee. Not the voice of the lover, obviously, that was to the church of Philadelphia, but as God, this is my correction of love. And my correction of love for you to avoid eternal judgment if you do not heed. And he gives them three things here, three simple things to revive them. And the first one is buy of me. And it's kind of interesting that he says buy of me here because you think about this church. They're increased with goods. They have need of nothing. So they know how to transact in the world. Everything is in the world. Everything that they do is of worldly gain. It's of man. So that's where their, in a sense, their commerce or their interaction is with the world. What he's saying, will you please transact with me? Will you have fellowship with me? And let's just get right to it. Get the word. Get the word of God. You're getting everything else, but you're missing it. You need the word of God. And then the next is the gold tried in the fire. And this speaks of faith. So see, God is only pleased with faith. Faith comes one way, and that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith, again, begins and always is in Christ Jesus. And without hearing and believing, there's no going forward with God. The only thing that God addresses and blesses is faith in his Son. That's these ones have heaped to themselves the riches of the opinions of the world, and they are about ready to be burned with them. Amen. That's what's going to happen when you lockstep yourself with the opinions and the ways of this world and knowing how to navigate in a sense, and that's what you're going to hook your sails to. it's going to be a burned life. But notice, I think, which is very wonderful here, it's faith that makes you rich. Isn't that wonderful? Faith makes you rich. If you want to be rich in the Lord, it's faith. And once again, faith comes only one way, and that's by hearing the word of God. So the more faith, the more wealth. Amen? I believe that's why the jackpot of faith and believing, if you will, was Brother Paul. Because what did he say? I have not withheld a thing. He gave the whole counsel of God. Amen? The mystery of Jesus Christ in the church, the bridal message. So right there is all truth. Again, the requirement, the need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Having all truth, taking all the things of Christ, that's what the Holy Ghost does, and shows them unto you. So again, this is the bounty of it all. This is the mother load of glory, praise be to God, is the bridal message. And this is exactly what this equates to, is faith makes us rich. The more faith, the more wealth. And you think about, I was encouraged about faith. Faith in the breadth of faith, meaning all truth, but also faith in the depth of that truth. To know it, but yet to have that intimacy of fellowship with it. There, do you see what I'm saying? There's a double portion in that. And I think it is definitely required. We can know the bridal message and believe in that bridal message. But is that your true fellowship? Is that your first love? Or is it something that we know? Is it something that I just teach? Or is it by the grace of God something that is really mine? Amen. And that's why I say the breadth and the depth of that. And thank God for it. But you think about what he's saying here, the riches of it, and especially the riches of faith to us who believe it's tried faith, the trials that can even make us joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Faith tried. Praise be to God. The faith, again, spoken of and encouraged of the full overcomers of the Old Testament in Hebrews 11. Those that, like Abraham, you think about how long he waited for the promise of God. And once again, someone he so loved, his wife, Sarah, that wonderful grace where the promise was going to be born through. She would kind of not believe at times, obviously giving him Hagar, the handmaid, to say, well, I know God's promised us this, but you know what, he's going to do it this way. It's not going to happen. I'm too old. The circumstances seem too dire, huh? My womb, it's dried up. There's no way we can conceive a child. So you know what? He must have meant it this way. Don't ever do that with God. That caused a lot of problems, did it not? You know, but God again knew. So that's what's so precious about, again, the story and our life and our father Abraham, amen, because of faith. But this is what's so precious is that tried faith. So as your faith is tried and as your faith is greatly tried, rejoice. Rejoice that you have been counted worthy, just like the worthies of faith, that you are being tried in that same manner. We are epistles read of men. Amen. Is he not the author and finisher of our faith? Amen. Well, just again, this is the written word. Praise be to God. And that written word, hallelujah, was written in those full overcomers of the Old Testament, those worthies of faith in Hebrews 11. That same wonderful overcoming testimony of faith, even in a double portion, is being written, I praise God by the grace of God in you, the bridal company to be. Hallelujah. It is the same thing. And this is that wonderful tried faith, the trials that make us that rich. Faith in Paul's bridal message is the riches untold. Ask the Queen of Sheba because she said it. The half has not been told. And that's the truth, how that was. Now, we go on to the third one. So we've had buy of me. The second one was the gold tried in the fire, which speaks of the faith. And now the third one here is the white raiment. Again, this is beautiful, splendorous white. But this isn't that all luminous, transparent white of the bridal attire that we saw of the bride in the 20th and 21st chapter of Revelation. This speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ when we believe on him. These ones are in jeopardy right now of not ever being saved by attending a church that does not preach the truth. You're in jeopardy. That's the truth. So get clothed, get saved, and never be naked again. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to talk about that eye, the eyes with eye salve. That's at the end of verse 18. This is very sweet because Jesus Christ, obviously we need to be able to see, the blind needs to see, but there's also more in this. Christ Jesus always wanting more for us. Go beyond the birth and grow up. This speaks of the Holy Ghost giving us a vision, enlightened eyes of understanding, taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us. See, this is not only the sight for salvation, but this is the sight for the much the more. As Job said in his sweet trial, as he came to the end of it, I have heard of thee by hearing, but now mine eye seeth thee. This is seeing the truth in all its fullness, always offering that even to those who are so riddled with error. That's our Lord. See, these ones are so riddled with error, but yet, besides witnessing to them about hearing the word of God, he's witnessing them as well, too, to grow in these things of God. Now, as we close this up in verse 19, as many as I love, what does he say? I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So, see, he does this because he's love. And he says, I do this because I love you. That's why I'm rebuking and chastening you. There isn't time to pander around. There isn't time to be polite as man thinks we need to be polite. Man's politeness is death. Now listen, he says, I'm not going to compromise. You know why? Because I never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Who's changed is this Laodicea. They're the ones that have changed. They have moved away from the truth. And the way that they moved away from the truth is they tried to meet the growing evil demands of society. Now I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That can happen in your home. That can happen right in the walls of your living space when you try to cut deals with your spouse, with your kids. I've said it many times. It finally got to the point. What do we call this? Responsible sinning? No, listen to that term. I know if I heard it anywhere, if the Lord just put that in my heart. I was just so grieved. Of all this stuff I was starting to hear, I said, no, there's no such thing as responsible sinning. Sin is sin. What are we talking about? Well, if you do this, do it this way. If you do that, do it that way. No. No, no, no. Error begets more error. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And we've all been there. As for me and my house, by the grace of God, we will serve the Lord. And yes, there's a lot of chastening that goes on always and all the time. So remember these things, brothers and sisters. Yes, this is speaking of a church, but this is speaking of the state of a heart. And the Lord is speaking truly to the individuals. He's not necessarily, in a sense, speaking to this meeting here. He's talking to the people. Come out from among them. Come on. This is ridiculous. Listen to what's going on. They're not hearing the truth anymore. They're trying to meet the demands of society. They're trying to, again, the big thing now is what's politically correct. You see these denominations that had been wonderfully, wonderfully encouraged of the Lord all these years. But the things that are going on, it's mind-boggling. It is. It's because, well, society says this is acceptable, so we have to have it acceptable in our meeting. God forbid. The word is the word. But I don't want to get out there and say, well, but now we're going to have to rank sin here. So this sin is worse than this sin and this sin. No, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So let's get over that. It's like I've had people come in here, well, brother, I think you ought to have some special messages on this sin. What is wrong with you? You know the sin that you're talking right there? That's the sin of self-righteousness. And that's the filthy rags to God. Amen. It will all be told. Let's just study the Word of God together. Amen. And then it's all there. And you know what we find out? Is we're a very needy people. And you know what you find out? We have lots of different infirmities. And we've got a lot of problems. We have issues. Let's just say it like it is. Amen? And you know what's so beautiful? Is that they're all healed, praise God, by His stripes that He took for us on the cross. And praise God, as we yield to the Lord, and as we, again, become full of the truth and of that joy of the Holy Ghost, you know what happens? Is that dross, those things and all of that, they begin to come out. They begin to kind of just grow strangely dim. All those things that I thought was, that was my life, that's what I had to have. It's like, oh no, I have Jesus, what want I more? Amen? Isn't that the way it is? See, when we go at this and we try to just do this, you know, root and branch kind of stuff, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be accountable, and I'll get my five accountability buddies and this type of thing, you've missed it. You have fellowship in the gospel of Christ. You have joy in the Lord. You pray for one another. You encourage one another in the things of God. Don't want to get off on this, but brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. He's saying, get a zeal for me. Get a spark of love for me. Be earnest for me. And repent. Have a change of heart. Have something, again, work effectually in that heart. It's the Word of God, or it's going to be too late. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot. You can't have the two masters. You're serving one or the other. And then finally in verse 20, it's all telling. As I mentioned this as we read it, he is outside the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's at the outside of the door. This couldn't be any more clear, brothers and sisters. He has not yet come into the hearts of these ones. They have ceased to hear the voice of the Lord. They have ceased to hear the word of God. And so sweetly, all that's required, just hear and open. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say, you know, go and you got to do this. You got to say how sorry you are and all. Just hear and open. And the feast and the fellowship is all there. God doesn't ask us to do. He doesn't ask us to try. He doesn't ask us to work. He says, hear my voice. Just like the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Go on a mission trip. No, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Go give all your money to the poor. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. It's so beautiful. Hear him. Yes. So hear my voice and open. And he comes in and he brings it all. And praise God that abiding is forever. And that grace through faith never changes. It never changes, that grace through faith. It's how we grow on and on and on and on. Amen. Praise God. It's that same grace. Verse 21. Here it's even more telling as to this place of this being the third rank company. I know we might be a little bit weary here, but this verse 21 is very powerful. So pay attention here as we're wrapping this up. To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. So this is beautiful, that and these overcomers in Laodicea. Now the opportunity, again, that bridal opportunity, that's past. They missed that opportunity. That opportunity to be in the bride of Christ is right now, brothers and sisters. But the word here says that he that overcomes in this company, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, let's read this correctly. Notice this, to sit in my throne, not reign in my throne. And by the way, that word throne, it doesn't mean an actual throne. It actually means the kingdom, that you'll be able to sit in the kingdom. And it's important here to understand the difference of this. Just as now all of God's children are seated in the heavens in Christ. This is exactly what this is referring to. As a child of God, you are seated in the heavens in Christ. You're seated in that kingdom in the Lord. But the bride, praise God, there awaits his very throne to be shared in the midst of glory, and it will be ruling and reigning and glorified together with him in the ages to come. Praise God. I believe that's a sweet little point to point out. Then verse 22 wraps right up again every single time to every one of the seven churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Without hearing the word of God, you'll never overcome. Without hearing the word of God, it'll never change. Hearing the word of God changes everything. Hearing the word of God changes you from glory to glory into the very image of him. Amen. Hearing the word of God changes you from rank to rank to rank into the highest and first rank. Praise be to God. Amen. See, we all, when you're born of God, you didn't start in the first rank. Oh no, you had to grow, amen? You had to grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hearing the word of God changes you from a moon glory to a sun glory. Amen, praise God. So incline thine ear, believe, and his Spirit will do all the rest. It's the promise and the power of the word of God to us who believe. The word wills and does in you his good pleasure. The word performs the good work which he has begun. The word. Amen. And nothing withheld. Praise God. All right. I pray that's encouraged you. I'm thankful to God this study in these seven churches. And then we'll be off to the first trump, if the Lord tarry, in chapter 4. And it gets exciting. Praise God. So let's stand and be dismissed.